What a morning. Yeah, Vince, just well done for leading, just setting the tone for this year, which is very, very exciting. And I feel super privileged, actually, to be bringing the word this morning, and especially because we're starting the year fresh. People are going back to school. Hey, we've got the Altitude ministry team and the Redeem Fire guys coming in. We see some new faces here. We've got Tony Strubel from Josh Jen and his family here. His son Joel signing up for Altitude is going to be amazing. And there's just excitement. There's just stuff happening. I mean, last week, Tebby spoke on, do you have New Year's resolutions? Maybe you're trying to kick those things off, or maybe you've resolved to know nothing but Christ crucified, and you're holding on to God's promises and building your life like that. There we go. You know, Tebby often says the amens and goes for it. So if you feel encouraged in any way, shout out a hallelujah or an amen. Yeah, let's participate this morning in what's going on. And so I've just been spending this week in prayer, just really trusting as I bring this word this morning that we would be responders. Actually, at the end of the time, we would come forward and just encounter Jesus afresh, allowing the Spirit to do what He wants to do this morning. We wouldn't be pew warmers, but we'd just be engaging with the Lord, engaging with Jesus, who is purifying His church even today. So I want to start with a story. In 1997, that's a long time ago, a guy by the name of Warren McDonald was bushwhacking in Australia, in the forests in Queensland over there, and he was with a mate, and they were going for it, just escaping into the wild, and as he was scaling a little rock face, the unthinkable happened. A portion of that rock face came away with him, and he crashed back to the ground. And his legs were crushed by about a ton of weight. And this is a real survival story. You can see his story on the wild, wild web. And but it's a true story in which his friend couldn't lift a ton of rock and had to traverse back to civilization to find help. And so Warren spent 48 hours trapped under this rock, not being able to move, not being able to free himself. And he had to survive. And while he was trapped under this rock, he started to feel, obviously, very unwell. He started to hallucinate. He started to go in and out of consciousness. And the doctors later told him it was the toxins in his own body starting to work against him. And that's sort of what I want to focus on a portion of my time this morning, is to say that there is toxins in this world. There are toxins within us even. And Jesus is the antidote, Jesus is the cure, and He is preparing for Himself a radiant bride. So I'm going to go back to that story, but just leave it over there, and we'll get back to it. So let me open up with a scripture from Titus. I want to read the whole thing. I wish I could unpack every element of the scripture, but I'm going to focus on one verse at the bottom. So let's go to Titus 1, verses 11 to 14, and it reads, you can't put it up. Okay, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. And in a world of toxicity and toxins, I am so thankful that Jesus is wanting to prepare for Himself a people and purify for Himself a people that are eager to do good works. And why is Jesus doing this? Well, I think if I look at this scripture, I can draw out of it two objectives. Jesus is purifying us for that great day, that wedding feast, where we will see Him and be with Him and rejoice with Him, and that He's doing it to a people who are His own. I just love the fact that I belong to Jesus, that I have right standing with Him, that I belong to Him. I don't have to worry about the things of the world to find status or to find acceptance. It's found in Jesus. It's found in who He is. And as I wonder about Him, as I allow Him to work in my heart and my life, He is making me radiant for that day. And then the second objective, why this is good news, why I think this is such a powerful scripture, is He wants to purify us on earth, that we would be those to point to Him, to say, this is our King, this is who He is. And I can't point to Jesus if I'm marred or if I am impure. I need to be radiant, splendid. And I think Jesus in our hearts and our lives does that. He gives us abundant lives. And we need to be living from the overflow of a life like that. And I just said, whether you're single or married, doesn't matter. Jesus working in our hearts is amazing. Whether you're poor or rich, it doesn't matter. Whether you are sick or healthy, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the circumstance which you find yourself in. It's just the wonder work of Jesus purifying for himself a beautiful bride. And that is awesome news, because Jesus is saying he wants to purify for himself this bride because he wants us to be participants with him. It says there, eager, purifying a people eager to do good works. I want to say, are we ready as a people to do good works this year? Are we keen to do good works this year? I don't know, maybe your January last year through December last year was quite hard, and you've come into this year going, I'm not going to give myself as much. I'm going to go to Calm, maybe 3 out of 4 weeks will be enough. I'll try and get to a church meeting. I'll maybe open my home and whatever the case is. Maybe you're putting up ultimatums and walls in your hearts already. I want to say, get with Jesus. That he would purify those thoughts even, that we would be a people eager to do the opposite. How much more wide can I open my heart? How often can I open my home? Can I have calm in my house twice a week if it were possible? Like, it's just rising to be an eager people captivated by Jesus. But unfortunately, there are, like Warren's case, those toxins that want to rise through us, come through us, that are affecting us. You know, the world's allures are always inviting us to go after them, to go adrift. And it's for us to stay in with the Lord, that he would be and continue to purify. So I'm not going to look at the biblical definition or the dictionary to say, hey, this is what purity is, and give us the Oxford version. I just want to group purity with a couple other biblical words. When I think about purity, I think about holiness. I think about sanctification, being made good. I think about righteousness. I think about discipline, about obedience, about devotion. I think about sincerity. I think about love. And for us as believers, we should have these qualities in increasing measure. And I feel as Jesus purifies us, it's where we start to enjoy and engage with those qualities. And those qualities become more and more apparent and real in our hearts and our lives. And so it's not getting mixed in with the toxins of the world. It's getting involved with Jesus and becoming more and more radiant. And often, I think when we consider good people, or maybe at school, you're like, oh, there's that girl who's a goody two-shoes. You know, she doesn't get up to any mischief, or she doesn't know how to have any fun. Purity could have a bad rap. But I feel for us as a church, purity is a beautiful thing. It's this wholesome thing. It's a glorious thing. It's something to be celebrated. I think about those that are purifying themselves, are setting themselves apart, are making themselves ready for just one special thing. And for us as Christians, it's for Jesus. And a beautiful picture of purity is, you know, two people on their way to getting married, keeping themselves for, yes, the wedding night, but also keeping themselves for marriage. They are not accepting anything. They are patiently waiting. They are working this thing out. They are remaining pure, waiting for that day. And often purity doesn't just come. It's often quite challenging, but it's a beautiful journey. I know for myself, pursuing Catherine, we just decided early on in our relationship, hey, we're not even going to kiss. Let the wedding day be our first kiss and stuff like that, which was amazing. Amazing to go on that journey, that I would stand before and go, I've kept myself for you. Would we be a people that would keep ourselves for Jesus? But the beautiful thing is, it's not just us keeping ourselves, it's that Jesus is saying, I want to purify you. I want to wash you. I want to be involved in bringing you through. And so, yeah, marriage is much like our relationship with Jesus, saving ourselves to one day enjoy this wedding feast. All right, so for me, being pure is definitely spirit-led. So I've read that scripture saying Jesus is keen, but how does that work itself out? And it works itself out as we fall in line, as we devote ourselves, as we walk with the Spirit. So as a dad, I've got 3 kids. I want to protect my child's innocence. I'm very mindful of what Malachi and Jude, and at some point Jaeger, when he starts to start walking, gets up to. Who they are hanging out with. What are they watching? What are they even hearing? Some conversations I have with my wife, I can't have around my children, not because I'm slandering anyone or whatever the case is, but my children are very perceptive. Children are perceptive. I want to ensure that I'm guarding their innocence. I love the fact, actually, Malachi, I can't watch any Disney movies. We've tried, but he just is so sensitive to what's happening in the story. We often have to switch it off, and I think, you know, in a couple years' time, we'll try again. Over this December period, Catherine's brother said to, we were in Adder Elephant Park, and we saw some warthogs, and Gareth said to Malachi, "Hey, man, that's like Pumbaa." Malachi was like who? I mean, I haven't even introduced the Lion King to my children because I, as a father, am trying to protect their innocence. And the Holy Spirit is doing that for us as well. The Holy Spirit wants to protect our innocence, wants to prick our consciences. He points us to Jesus. He points us to the truth. He is our encourager. You know, the word says, be careful the company you keep because it can corrupt. I think if we keep company with the Spirit, it's going to lead to life. He wants to fill us. The Holy Spirit wants to fill us. I mean, the word says the flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. He's willing, and He's not unable to keep us from impurity. He's not unable to keep us from temptation. Actually, we need Him. He wants to be gracious to us. He wants to connect us with the Father. And so being people of the Spirit is how we're going to be and maintain this element of purity. And so purity is not about rules. It is about relationship. It is about forming a connection with Jesus. It's about just getting away with Him, hearing Him, being in His Word, talking with Him, walking with Him. And I think as we do that in 2026, that's where He's able to just make our consciences super sensitive to Him. And as our consciences become sensitive to Him, I become sensitive to His purposes. And that's why I really believe, as I encourage us this morning, that my message would be that we would be purified for purpose. And it doesn't come by obeying rules. I can't put on image or false pretenses to look good for man. The word says the Lord judges the attitudes of my heart and my thoughts. I just feel so naked before the Lord sometimes. Recently, my wife has asked me, I'll just use a random thing, just said to me the other day, "Hey, babes, could you take in the washing?" Now, in that moment, I could have been like, "Nah, I don't feel like it." But something just made me go, "Look up. Okay, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Because I am your servant. You are my master. Yes, I get to serve Catherine, but actually I'm serving you. I'm loving you. I'm adoring you with praise. I'm adoring you with sacrifice." And it's worked out horizontally. As my wife asked me to do stuff, etc., yeah, the fruit of enjoying Jesus is that I serve her. And I just felt it just got so much more elevated for me in walking with the Lord and being pure, recognizing actually He can judge my thoughts. He can judge the attitudes of my heart. I actually want those things to be right. And so this element of purity, it touches on the fiber of our innermost being. Being connected with Jesus, being formed in the secret place. And we should be a pure people in speech, in actions, what we allow our eyes to see, how we think. And I often think that a lot of the purity that we have with Jesus that's formed in the secret place is often tested with our bonds here in the church. You know, Catherine was sharing a story with me saying about 10 years ago, she had downloaded some videos on her hard drive and went to one of her friends, Tennille, and said, "Hey, let's watch some movies together." And Tennille said, "Yo, I don't want to watch movies that have been downloaded or pirated." And, you know, Catherine at the time thought nothing much of it and just began to have a conversation with Tennille. But she left that conversation going, why does Tennille have that conviction? Why doesn't she want to give herself to that? And it provoked in Catherine this desire to go, "I want to be holy. Like, I want to be pure. I don't want to be tarnished. I want to have the same convictions my friend has." And I know for myself, just growing up in the life of the church, I would hang out a ton. I know that's what we do as God's people. We hang out a lot, man. I would be wherever the action was happening. I'd be hanging out with this, doing that, etc. I'd be just where the comm was. That was my life. And I've got a big mouth. I would open my mouth all over the place, saying a whole bunch of things, etc. And I would often leave those conversations driving home in the car, then going, "Your Lord, that thing that I said to that guy, yeah, that wasn't honoring, eh? And I would actually, I spent a lot of time in my early days voice noting people going, yo, man, that thing that I said, I am so sorry I said that. I'm so sorry if I did this or if I offended you, whatever the case is. And there were times where I was in the front of the meeting crying out to the Lord, just saying, Lord, purify my tongue because this thing is getting me into trouble. But I was definitely walking with the Spirit. I was definitely considering my actions, considering my thoughts, considering what I was saying to people. Obviously, when I was, before I got born again, I collected DVDs. So this was my life. I would end work at 1 o'clock on a Friday, run to Musica, buy 3 DVDs for 99 Rand and watch all 3. So I had DVDs stacked to the roof of my house, collecting them, amazing. When I got born again, I couldn't give some of those DVDs away. I had to burn them. I had to throw them away. But I had a passion for movies, and I enjoyed watching and I enjoyed giving myself to that stuff. But as I got born again and fellowshipped and hung out and stuff like that, then I would put maybe one of those movies on. And 3 minutes in, I'd be like, yo, the language. Or, jeez, the subtle innuendos here about sexuality. Like, well, what happened over there? Or, you know, this violence is a bit hectic. I became sensitive to the Spirit. And therefore, I became sensitive to what I gave myself to. You know, purity has to take a hold of us, and it has to be seen in our actions, in our thoughts, in the way we consider and give ourselves to. So, how can we be pure? Yeah, man, this subject is so vast. It is so vast. I'm only going to take 4 points, hopefully, that you can remember them. And although we've established Jesus is purifying for himself a spotless bride, it's the work of the Spirit. Well, we've got to be careful to stay in step with the Spirit. And as we do that, it'll lead to life. And so how can we be pure? Yeah, it's falling in line with a couple things over here. So Paul says to Timothy, set an example in purity. So he does charge Timothy, and I think the Lord charges us with setting an example. Setting an example isn't doing nothing, it's doing something. So so there is this partnership, man, working with the Lord, working with the Spirit, and then going, how can I set this example? So here are some actions we can take. Get into the Word. I was very interested to see how much of the Word talks to young people, saying, young people, how can you keep your way pure? It's but by the way of the Lord. Young people flee from sexual immorality and enjoy the Word. I mean, it's amazing. I could go into that completely, but I'm going to read this scripture to us. James 1, verses 21. It says here, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. I want to say to us, do you love the word? Is the word planted in your life? Are you planting yourself in the word? Are you memorizing the word? You've got to have some of the word memorized. When I'm running around town and I don't have my Bible here, I need to know, hey man, this is how the Lord would want me to order my steps. Are you accepting the word? Because it's interesting, the scripture over here says it can save you. Now we know to have faith in Jesus, it's having faith, grace. But as we abide in the word, it's able to correct my path, keep me from harm, helps me make wise decisions. I can't maintain this life or steer myself to this life without reading the Word. I recently chatted to a lady visiting Mari. You must get to know her. She's really great at board games. She whipped us the other night. And she was saying, I've just been hungry for the Lord. I bought a Bible and I started reading from Genesis. I read 800 pages of the Bible. I'm like, ooh, okay. Someone's keen for Jesus, you know. Someone's keen to find out, you know, who the Lord is. I hope we're that eager people to go, Lord, I want to make time to do that. I challenged two of my community members to go, hey, let's read the whole New Testament through December. That means you're reading 10 chapters a day in 26 days. It was hard. It was a challenge. I'm 2 days out. I haven't finished it. But we were provoking each other for the word, to plant that word in us. And I want to say, let's be lovers of the presence of Jesus. Let's be lovers of the Word. Don't rely on other people's revelation to get you through a situation. You know, so often I can just run to my comm lead and go, yo, I'm having this issue, whatever. And that's good, and we need to be accountable like that. But is your first devotion to Jesus?
is your first devotion to finding out what he's saying in his word, that you'd be formed in the secret place and get to know him and get to know what he's saying. You know, if I had to buy a ready-mixed bag of muffins, and it says I need to use 3 eggs, a little bit of oil, and some water to make it, I can't go on my own mission and think I'm going to get the same result by adding flour and milk to this thing when it's calling for oil and water. How much more our lives? Like, we've got to be reading the Word of God to know, Lord, what is good and what is not good. Not make up my own idea of what I think is good, because you know what? Those toxins, even my own thoughts are corrupted. I can't trust my own heart or my own thoughts. I need that Word of the Lord. So if we're going to live pure lives, we need a biblical worldview, which shapes so much. I'll say this. As a single guy, when I came into life of the church, there were a lot of young women, and I thought, man, I can do anything with these young ladies or whatever the case is. Then I sat in a meeting and heard Sean Bradiseth preach on singleness and dating, and he preached on that scripture that says, consider older women as mothers and consider younger women, treat them as sisters. Yo, when I heard that, that shaped my worldview leaving that meeting going, I can't just do anything with my sisters. They're my sisters. I got to treat them with absolute purity. And I started to regard them with honor, with graciousness, with kindness. That biblical understanding did so much for my life. All right. Okay, next one. So let's get into the word. Next one is think. And we're going to read from Philippians 4 verses 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. How often are we thinking about anxiety, worries, my work, my colleagues, my business, my finances, my children? Those aren't, okay, I mean, if you're thinking about them the right way, that's good. But I read this the other day going, actually, I forgot to do this. I forgot to think on things that are praiseworthy, that are true. This scripture here says, whatever is true. You know, Catherine was saying to me, you know, as ladies, you know, we can let our minds wander. We can fantasize about things, the future, marriage, and whatever the case is. Right now for you, those things aren't true. They, you know, be careful what you wrap your minds and your hearts up into. Rather consider what is true. Jesus is good, you know. I'm thankful, I can be thankful, etc. As we have these thoughts, they should translate horizontally. How can I encourage a brother today? You know, how can I serve my wife today? How can I think on things that are praiseworthy? Think on things that are good, etc. Because so much of the battle is won in our minds. Actually, so much of sin and desire that we give ourselves to starts here. We start to think about things that are not real, things that are counterfeit, and we go down that bend and we arrive in, oh man, I've overstepped the mark, I've missed the mark, I've sinned. And so we've got to protect it. Sinful behavior is often driven by thoughts. And Romans 12 says, you know, be renewed in your mind in order to be transformed. And so I want to say, think. Like, the word helps us to think biblically. I've got to take my thoughts captive and make them obedient to Jesus. And I know it'll bring us through. All right, the next one is do, obviously, action. This is a great one. This is a great one. Here we go. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. And when I read the scripture, it seems impossible. You know, therefore, since we have these problems, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit. I think we must be careful to go, I'll just watch this movie or endure this conversation and not think it's going to affect our spirits. I think we've got to be careful to guard what we're doing, what we're giving ourselves to, because it affects our connection with the Spirit. You know, we've often see that aspect of the Holy Spirit being that dove. Can be so easily startled off, so easily scared off, so easily we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And if purity is part of our walk with the Lord, purity is going to come by being with the Spirit. And so we've got to be careful that what we give ourselves to physically doesn't chase away the presence of the Spirit. That we would see our consciences, would we ignore that prick going, hey, that's not a good thing to watch. I'll just skip over the swear words. I'll skip that sex scene. I'll keep watching the series. I think that's where we start to dull our consciences. And we've got to be so careful of that. And I think a great aspect to our lives before the Lord is reverence for God. If we fear the Lord or have a healthy fear for the Lord, It's going to keep us from doing things that are harmful to ourselves. I really felt in the second song, we started a bit slower in the song, I think, and I got to consider the words we were singing, and I felt the presence and the weight of the Lord and the reverence of God come into the room. And I don't want to mess with that. I want to live under that and the beauty of that. And that's going to keep me from, just being wayward, being impure. Because, you know, Jesus is purifying for himself a bride to do good things. And impure objects can't be purposed for anything. We've got to cleanse ourselves that we would be purposeful in the hands of the Lord. All right. Okay, last one. Number four, confess. So it's we've got the word, we've got think, we've got do, and we've got confess. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I want to say your best works cannot save you. If you have sinned or you've missed the mark, don't think, I'll try again, or I'll be better next time, or I'll put some measure in place. I think we've got to bring our lives into the light. We've got to confess that sin to Jesus. We've got to confess that sin one to another. It's where you're going to find forgiveness. It's where you're going to find purity start to take effect. It's repentance. I mean, we should never lose the magnificence of that word. Repenting, turning away from that thing, choosing a different outcome. And if we choose Jesus, it's going to lead to a life distance from unrighteousness. It's going to lead to a life of purity. And the word does say, confess your sins one to another. It's a big aspect of fellowship, actually. We think fellowship is catering, hanging out, having a lack of time. Let's have a bride together. It's calm. Let's talk about what happened this week, etc. I think true fellowship is where I know Lubabalo's weaknesses. And he knows my weaknesses because I've shared my weaknesses with him. So when I stand next to him, I have an understanding of this guy's good moments and his bad moments. And so it does talk about when we confess our sins, we have true fellowship. I can't just know the good stuff. Recently in December, we all had our year-end celebrations, and I'm going to expose Vince a bit. And he wrote me a card, and in the card, he called out some great aspects to who I am. Courageous, bold, etc., etc. Weird. Weird? All right. I'm weird, okay? Yeah, so that made it, highlighted it even more. Weird. Yeah, weird. Yeah, which is great, which is exactly what I'm saying. It gave me so much more comfort. Vince has seen my weird side, you know. He has, like, looked at me and gone, this guy's weird. He's weird enough for me to say in a card, you're weird. And actually, I'm like, yes, thank you, Lord, that Vince has seen my weird side. And he doesn't see only the good stuff that he's called out, but he's also seen the not-so-lucky stuff. And I don't know, it just made me feel bonded. It made me feel close, you know. So now I can be weird in front of Vince and be okay about it. Yeah, yeah. Not too weird, not too weird, not too weird. You know, so we need to be doing these things. I like that there would be true authenticity in our connection, that there'd be a true walking in the Spirit, that we'd be freeing ourselves and fleeing from toxins, because they want to creep in. They really want to creep in. But yet Jesus is hard at work. He's delighting in working among us. And so why do we want to be pure? Why do we want to be pure? It's for the very same reasons that Jesus wants us to be pure. It's so that I would be ready for that feast one day. Going, yes, man. I mean, 1 John says that we wouldn't be ashamed at his coming. I mean, it says the day of the Lord is going to be a very fearful day. Like those that have not bowed their knee, those that have not been washed by Jesus, it's going to be a fearful day. But for us who believe and who continue to believe, man, I'm not going to be ashamed. I hope I'm going to, yes, Jesus, and in the flash of an eye, I'm going to be like him. And so I want to be pure because I want to be ready for that day. I want to be excited about heaven, excited about the community in heaven. I love what Vince was saying. It's not going to be me and Jesus hanging out in heaven. How's it, Jesus? What are we doing today? Yeah, it's not. It's going to be thriving and worship and adoring and putting on, I suppose, what I've put on in my Christian walk in this life. Enjoying Jesus. And then, because I want to be a participant in advancing his kingdom on earth. I want to participate. I want to participate in people's lives. I mean, I mentioned Mari. So Mari's new and visiting, and we've had her over. And she came over last week Sunday and hung out the whole afternoon with us. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, I just love being a participant in her finding out about Jesus, falling in love with the church. It was awesome. I want to be a participant. I want to be purified. I want to set an example. I want that it would be evident that Jesus is working in my heart and my life. I want to be pure. I want to be made pure. And as we allow him to purify us, we become purposeful. We get excited about his will. I'm excited about this year. I'm excited about discipling, being discipled, called weird, and working on that. Getting involved in other guys' lives. I mean, I helped Luba Barlow move all of his stuff. He said, hey, this is how Luba Barlow phrased it. I'm moving a bed and a desk. When I got there, it was not a bed and a desk. It was everything. Yeah. I sweated. I worked hard. I did 2 flights of stairs at his that place. I did 3 flights of stairs at that place. But I saw other people helping him. And I got to say, how's it? And engage with the church over there, etc. And it was awesome. I want to be made pure, to be a participant in what Jesus is doing. And purpose shapes priorities. And priorities shape action. PPA. That's what I did. Yeah, come on, PPA. Remember that, PPA. Woo! Purpose shapes priorities. Man, if I'm being purified for the purposes of Jesus, it's going to shape my priorities. And I want my priority to be God's kingdom. I said to the Lord earlier this year, I don't want my house to be the kingdom that I advance. I don't want my marriage to be the kingdom that I advance. I don't want my workplace to be the kingdom I advance. I want to advance your kingdom. You know, Lord, purify me. And if we have to be in the refiner's fire, it's the best place to be, because the refiner is over the work. He's got the gold in the melting pot. It's hot in there. The dross is coming out, the not-so-lacquer stuff. He's scooping it out, etc. But he's there. He's watching. He's looking over. He's drawing that stuff out that would be radiant and be beautiful, and it's not going to stop. Purity, like I said, is hard, but it's beautiful. And we should be eager to be purified by the Lord. Which is wonderful. And so, yeah, let's be a people purposed to be shaped for Jesus and allow him to do what he needs to do. And, so getting back to Warren, who's crushed under this rock, he eventually, help does come. And so a helicopter arrives, and over his head, etc., and 3 people drop to the ground with him, one of them being a doctor. And the other 2 guys are the guys that are going to remove the boulder. But before they can remove the boulder off of his legs, the doctor has to give him a shot of adrenaline. And he gives Warren a shot of adrenaline because those toxins, if they remove that boulder and the pressure's off, those toxins are going to flood his body and could arrest all of his vital organs. And so they give the shot of adrenaline to get his heart pumping and going for it, so that as they remove this boulder, actually he wouldn't succumb to his injuries. And I was like, God, this is such a picture of our lives. We can often be bundering and bashing and going for it, etc., and land in a predicament. Or, you know, just be living a mundane life or whatever the case is. And the Holy Spirit is that shot of adrenaline. Yeah, that would just like make us come alive to the purposes of God. Make us flee the toxins that do creep in. I find it remarkable that my own body can turn on itself. Like if he hadn't received that shot of adrenaline, he would have been overwhelmed by the toxins and he would have passed out. In fact, it was really life and death. In that moment, the doctors later said to him, you were so gray when I got to you, I thought you were dead. It's just a miracle that he's alive. And you can watch his story. So he goes on to become the first double amputee to summit Kilimanjaro. He becomes a success story. And he attributes it to human will or human ingenuity. And I don't want to knock his story. Like his story has become a success story for sure. He's a motivational speaker. He's doing wildly crazy things, etc. I'm saying together with us, I want to write God's story. I want my story not to be a success story. I want it to be God's story. And I want to allow that the Lord, the gardener of heaven, would come and work in my heart to purify me, that I would write his story this year. And I think in Warren's story, there's no mention of, hey man, Jesus saved me. It was life and death over there. It was like human ingenuity. It was like perspective and perseverance and sheer willpower, and I got through, and now I'm doing all these successful things. And kudos to him. May he still find and encounter Jesus. But would we write God's story together by allowing Jesus to purify us? So I want to bring it to a land there, and just ask the music team to come up. And I just want to, you know, as I've been talking and talking about purity and being made pure, talking about some of those toxins, I've really trusted that the Holy Spirit would have spoken, would have highlighted aspects of our lives that are maybe a bit toxic. Maybe you feel purposeless. Maybe you feel unworthy. Maybe over December you've given yourself to, you know, being immoral. Maybe you've harbored bitterness. Maybe there's been unforgiveness. Maybe you've just lost a sense of direction. And I just really, really believe that Jesus this morning wants to come in and he wants to delight over us. He wants to restore us. He wants that we would confess our sins. He wants that if we have no purpose, to give us purpose, to say, I am purifying you. I am giving you that adrenaline shot, that you would get rid of those toxins and come and be my people. Come and be, on an adventure with me.